We're going to talk about loving yourself for Jesus' sake. We are constantly taught as Christians the most important commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And because Jesus is just a little bit of an overachiever, and he's pretty sassy and sneaky, when he is answering this question, what is the most important commandment? He says, you know, to love the Lord your God. And they're like, yeah, that's the right answer, Jesus, good job. And he goes, and to love your neighbors as yourself. And so he throws this second commandment in the first most important commandment. And I think, to be truthful, in the Midwest, for the most part, we do a bang-up job of this commandment. I think we do try really hard to love God, and I think we really try hard to love our neighbor. But where I think we fall short is that last little nugget that he tags onto the end, as ourselves. If you ask me, this is the missing piece of the puzzle. Why aren't people coming to church when I invite them? If I do invite them and they come, why don't they come again? Why isn't this sticking for them? Why do I feel like I'm constantly falling short of making God proud? And the answer, I think, is that we don't do a very good job of loving ourselves. In fact, I think we pride ourselves on not loving ourselves. We are motivated by that unloving unkindness. In fact, we are unintentionally raised to be kind of hard on ourselves. We take humility to the next level around here, and we take loving others to the next level too. How can I possibly love myself when I am so busy taking care of all of these other people? If I'm doing a good job of loving everybody else, there isn't any time left for me. How can I possibly love myself when I'm so busy with everything else? And we just bask in the glory of all of the hard work that we do loving others to the detriment of loving ourselves. We take on this martyr role and we feel so good about that. It's fine, I'll be fine, it'll be fine, this'll pass. When harvest is over, when planting is over, when basketball or football or whatever the sport is over, then we'll have time, our family can slow down, then we can take care of ourselves. When mom gets better, then we'll take care of ourselves. And so on and so forth. After this pandemic, then we'll get back to taking care of ourselves. And we'll just join another board and we'll participate in another thing, we'll volunteer for another thing, I grew up Lutheran, so we'll bake another batch of brownies for that funeral or that baby shower. We do another thing and take up more of our time not loving ourselves. And we listen to another friend over coffee for 2 hours and we smile and pretend we don't have our own stuff going on because they need us more than I need me. And this no room to love ourselves thing, this believing that we're not really worthy of self-love, it's a huge problem for two reasons. First and foremost, and forever, Jesus died and rose to live again for you. And second, why on earth would anyone believe that line that you're selling about Jesus loving them if you're not acting like it? A professor once said to me in undergrad, not to me, to the whole class, your talk talks and your walk walks, but does your talk walk the way your walk talks? And she was really proud of herself the way she said it so fast, too. She was like, don't you feel impressed? So let's dig into these two points, because they line up directly with that big job we've been given as Christians, to love God and to love others as ourselves. The scripture from Romans today is what I chose because it points to the first part really beautifully, but not necessarily very clearly. So let me say it the easy way. At our very worst, that terrible thing that you can't forgive yourself for, that thing that you don't share with anyone, Christ died for that piece of you. And that thing that you can't forgive that other person for, that terrible thing that someone did to you, he died for that piece of them. He died for us, not because we have potential. Someday you'll get your act together and then it'll be worth it, what I did. But he died for all of us, the whole thing, all of the pieces. And now that we are saved by him, because of this, and trying to live for him, we are even better off. We are justified by faith. Justification is a really big Jesus word that someone once finally described to me well enough that I can understand it and say it today. Justified means it is just as if I'd never sinned. And we get to have peace because of that. We get to stand in grace. We get to rejoice in hope. These things, we just get. They are gifts. They are the fruits of the death of Jesus for us. To not accept these gifts, to not accept that love and that grace, that justification, and I mean really accept it for ourselves, me personally, you personally, is arguably the most disrespectful and ungrateful thing that we can do. We sit and feel awful about ourselves to let that stream of negative self-talk run through our minds and bodies, to starve ourselves, to work ourselves to the bone, to deprive ourselves of joy and goodness and the fullness of Christ's love within us because we have deemed ourselves screw-ups or not quite there yet. It's just plain thoughtless of us. That man died for us. That God, the God, died for us. He sent his son to die for us. And more than that, he didn't just die for us, he defeated all of death. And then he came back just to let us know that he did it. He could have gone right back up to heaven as soon as he was done. But he came back and hung out with us for a little bit, tell us it's okay. I took care of it. And now I'm gonna go make you a home. The least we can do is be gentle with ourselves, to love ourselves correctly, to receive the gift of death and resurrection. What does your self-loathing, self-hate, do for the world or God anyway? Do you think he stands up there at the end of the day, arms crossed, nodding his head? Yeah, that's right, you screwed up today. Go ahead and keep punishing yourself. That's definitely the answer. Is that the God you serve? No. You are his beloved child. Be loved. And love yourself while you're at it, because you are the way that Christ, the living body of God, the Son of Man, continues to make his way along this earth. The Holy Spirit is within you. You are continuing Christ's work. You need to treat yourself that way. If not, what sort of example are you setting? You're standing in your driveway and telling your neighbor that Jesus died for them because he loves them. But if you aren't living as though you are loved, why should they believe you? If the God of the universe finds something to be precious, don't you yourself also consider it precious? If we bring that down a bajillion pegs, to your everyday life. If that person you follow on Instagram, or if Joanna Gaines, or if your best friend, or if your dad says that this is an amazing product and tells you how wonderful it is, don't you want to try the product? And aren't you predisposed to like it because someone you love loves it? So if God finds you to be precious and you are called to love him and to love your neighbor as yourself, don't you think you should probably love yourself before you go around trying to love others for the kingdom? We're not called to hypocrisy, and we're not called to halfway work either. So if we're going to be sharing the good news, and it is good news, we have to live out that good news the whole way, fearlessly, recklessly, with abandon. because Christ died for all of that bad stuff your neighbor did, and you believe that. Those things that your friend did that they're having a hard time forgiving themselves for, you're the first one to tell them that it's okay, that Jesus loves them anyway. But before you go and tell your neighbor this crazy, amazing news, make sure your walk talks the way your talk walks. Are you living like the good news, that amazing love is just as much yours as it is everyone else's? If not, don't tell anyone about it. And I'm so serious. God loves you so deeply, and I know you know that. In your head, you know that God loves you. But if you don't know that in your heart and your bones and your fingertips, let him show you first. Sit yourself down and don't say another word. It's time for you to do the listening. Don't disrespect him by disrespecting his son and his work and his death and resurrection, his beloved child. To share this news, this love with someone before you not only know it, but live it, is hypocrisy. It's okay to take the time to let God work in you before he sends you out to tell others of his love. Check your Gospels. Jesus didn't send those boys out immediately. And while I know from experience he takes such great joy in sending you out before you feel ready, he doesn't do that with strangers. So, do you know him truly, or do you know of him? Because to know him truly is to love him. And to love him and to know him means that you know he loves his babies. Oh, God loves his babies. Do you love his babies too? All of them? Including you? Especially you? Because back to that verse, the sassy one where Jesus sneaks two commandments into one, I'm hoping you're starting to see that sneaky Jesus sneaks in another one. It's actually love God, love yourself, love others. This is what we call relational spirituality. This is the purpose, the intention, and the method of Christianity. It's what we're called to. So the more we fall in love with God, the more it is only right by him to love ourselves. Not in a way that distracts, but a way that respects. We all know the people that love themselves a little too much and a little too not for the kingdom of God. But that's not this. Loving ourselves correctly means that because of our love of the Father in heaven and the brother that died and rose for us, we must, through faith and grace and peace and mercy and hope, love ourselves. Not because we have suddenly come to the realization that we actually are pretty great. In fact, on this earth, because it's our turn for resurrection, before it's our turn for our resurrection, we actually are still pretty crummy. But Christ, who is in us, who we live for, is not crummy. And if we really believe that he died to justify our sins, then to do anything but love ourselves is like saying we don't believe that what he did really worked. Thanks a lot, Jesus, for, you know, what you did. But I just can't imagine that that's really true for me, so I'm going to keep treating myself poorly and punishing myself and living with depression and guilt and fear and anger, just to be sure. When we see how Jesus loves us, we can start to truly love ourselves well, rightly, correctly, for the kingdom. And it is only then that it does us any good to love our neighbors. And you might be thinking, but isn't it better to love them just a little bit until I get this sorted out and I finally get my act together, and then I can do the real loving my neighbor as myself? To a degree, yes. We should certainly love. We should do everything in love. That's all over scripture. But what I mean is, don't be trying to bring people who don't know Christ to a Christ that you don't live as though you trust. That's why those who don't yet know him think that we're hypocrites. We're walking around like we really know what's up, when we have no idea what's going on. When we were pregnant with Audrey, we got all these cute little books about crazy big concepts. This one is quantum physics for babies. We also have general relativity for babies. And they're really fun. They walk you through, you know, this is a ball, this ball has energy. This is a ball, this ball has zero energy. And it walks you all the way through what neurons and electrons and all of those things are. And basically, now that's quantum physics. The end. And that's really great, but we have no idea what quantum physics is. My husband was telling me when we were still dating, I remember sitting in the drive-thru of some drive-thru restaurant waiting for our food, and he was trying to explain to me like how much we don't know about quantum physics. It's a lot. We don't know anything. Still, we research it and we work with it and we're trying to understand it as a society. And just because we can't possibly understand it at this point doesn't mean that we should let Audrey teach quantum physics at the collegiate level. The love of God is the same way. We are all sitting in this room today with an intern's level of understanding of God's love. We have the skills required to fetch coffee and pick up the mail. Until we learn to live out the love of God, it is probably best that we don't try to run the board meeting. And if we have an intern's amount of experience of God's love, let's not try to hire more interns, because we're not the CEO. So it's about time that I circle back to my point so you don't think that I'm trying to tell you to quit loving God's people. Do love God's people. That's so wildly important. That's what we're called to do. But before you go out and try your hand at TV evangelism, make sure you're receiving and believing in and living out that love God has poured out to you. Live in the justification through faith. The peace of God. Stand in the grace he has given you. Rejoice in hope and in the glory of God. And do all of that with such gentleness. And understanding that while we're here on this earth, we will fall short. We will have bad days, we will use swear words, and we will leave notes on people's cars, and we will accidentally say things on Facebook we don't mean. We will burn chicken, and we will forget about reports, and we will lash out because of it, and then we'll beat ourselves up for days because of that. There will be sin in this world because this is the cold, hard reality of the curse. And yet, we've already won. Jesus took care of it because he loves us, and we get to let that love wash up over us anew every day like the most rejuvenating shower, and then we get to go out and share that love with our neighbors. And when we do this in this order, they'll see it. They'll believe it. They will know that your walking and talking is the same. They will trust you and they will trust our God because of that. That's when the real kingdom work can be done. This is what Jesus died for, and this is where it gets to grow in significance. And I'm going to let you in on a little Christian life hack secret. When you are really living out the love of God for yourself, and then naturally to others, you don't have to work very hard to convince them of anything. In fact, they will be drawn to you naturally. And because it is different than this worldly way of life, it'll happen naturally. They're going to be drawn to it, they're going to want it, and they're going to be asking you questions. Let them come to you. Work smarter, not harder, at the advancement of the kingdom. And so instead of nullifying what he died for by living like we don't believe it, we can instead make it mean more. Make it more true for more people. He can give out his Holy Spirit gift to more people. And that's what it's all about for him. More of his love. To more of his children. So please love yourself for Jesus' sake. What are the ways that we can be gentle with ourselves? That we need to become more gentle with ourselves, to be kind to ourselves. We think a lot about how we can be kind to others, loving to others, how we can care about other people better, but What about ourselves? And I don't know what it is for you, because I just walked in here. And I don't know any of you, so I don't know what you're struggling with or what you're being hard on yourself about, but there are some things that I do know. I know that in this season, it has been surprisingly difficult. I know that your kids have been home more and for longer. I know that you've had to see, or you haven't been able to see older family as much. I know the financial ramifications of this 2020 have been hard on people, which usually causes them to be hard on themselves. I know we all struggle with health and wellness and weight and self-image. I know that depression and anxiety are at an all-time high. And I know that living in a small community makes you not want to share any of that. So, where can you give yourself some gentleness, some loving kindness? And can you ask God into that piece of you today? I'd like to pray about that now, if that's okay, as we finish up and think about the healing light that God offers. Think about that piece of you that is struggling, that you have a hard time being gentle with, and invite that healing light into that space, because He is the light. He's the light of the world, and that light can be inside of you. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for the things that You have done for us, the way that You have made for us, the way that You have made us. I thank You for this congregation of people who are doing their very best to love You well, to serve You well, to serve their community well. I pray that they would take that same energy and apply it to themselves in this moment. Help them to love themselves, those tender pieces of themselves that could use a little bit of Your light and Your love. I pray that You would fill those little cracks and crevices of their heart where they have been a little too hard on themselves, a little mean to themselves. Fill it with Your love and Your goodness so that they can go out and show people what You're all about. Because God, it is good. It feels good. And it is so different than anything that we have here. I pray that as You fill their hearts with light and love, that warm glow that You offer, that they would feel empowered to keep loving themselves in that way throughout the day, in the week, in the month. And I ask that as they go, that that light would shine out so people are curious and they start to come because of You. Amen.